When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nyson. This show is supported by Lacoste, who produce performance cycling apparel. This is the recap of La Course by La Tour de France. Before we jump into it, if you like what we do and you want to support the podcast, there's a few things you can do. You can rate us and leave a review if you're listening on podcast players, or subscribe to the YouTube channel, Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast YouTube channel, and like the video down below if that's where you're watching. Or we also have a donation link on Ko-Fi, which goes directly to supporting the podcast and acquiring photo licensing rights and race rights, etc. But speaking of help, this podcast is supported by our show partner, Lacoste. Lacoste produced performance cycling apparel that's made at the base of Monte Grappa in Italy. If you're interested in picking up some Lacoste kit during the tour across the next 3 weeks, you can use the all caps LRTDF20, that's LRTDF20, which will get you 20% off all Lacoste items. They've just launched their lightweight collection, which will help you stay cool in summer on long rides, and is made of their most breathable fabrics and material yet for the hot summer climbs. So thanks to Lacoste for supporting the podcast. Early start, the race started like 8 a.m., so 7 a.m. London time, and I think this might be the last edition ever with the Women's Tour de France next year. Yep. 108 k's from Brest-Landerneau, a bit rainy but not too hard. Four laps of the Côte de la Fosse or Loop climb, 3.1 k's at 5.5%. They also finish on the top of that climb. It's hard at the start, sort of 8% gradient for 1,500 meters, and then it flattens out at the end. So Voss, Vollering, Van der Breggen, Ludwig, all those sort of riders on the start list and in play. But yeah, there was some... Every time they went sort of past the finish line, Benji, at the end of that climb, there were repeated attacks, people trying to get away. What was the initial attacks?
Yeah, I started tuning in, I think, just before the circuit started with a good 80K to go. We had an attack by a Arkea rider, Cédric Kerbaul, something like that. I'm trying, okay. And she ended up attacking solo, but she was joined by a rider, Pirone, and that two women group stayed away for a tiny bit, and then we started seeing that continuous attacks every time on the circuit. And SD Works, actually the team that was trying to control the peloton a bit while those attacks were ongoing, and I feel like at a certain point we saw SD Works setting up pace and the group was reduced to 30 riders, and that was with a good two laps of those 14 kilometers per lap to go. So lots of action, but then a group started forming. It was with about a good 18K to go that group formed. We had Leah Thomas in there, Bertizzolo, Guderzo, Niefischer Black, Ruth Winder, Persico, Anna Henderson, and so forth. Also Grace Brown, Faulkner, Chapman, and Labou. And I think one rider from Jumbo-Visma as well. I think it was Anushka Koster, but I'm not sure
Anna
about
Henderson,
it. Well, oh, was it? Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's what the UCI Women's World Tour sort of tweets has said. But yeah, I thought I saw her pulling at the end as well. I mean, I was surprised SD Works were happy with that group, Benji. Just Niefischer Black against Brown and Labou and Anna Henderson. Oh yeah, I was surprised they were happy with that group composition. Or do you think they were happy with just a 50-second gap and they knew that could be brought back pretty quickly?
Well, in the early parts when SD Works was setting the pace, we saw that initial few riders getting caught very swiftly on one of the uphill sections. So I think they knew in their mind that once we go ham on one of these climbs, this group can be caught quite easily. But I still felt like, okay, this is kind of dangerous. 1 minute, 1 minute 15, 1 minute 20. I'm like, okay, this is becoming riskier and riskier. And eventually we did see reactions from that second group. But I feel like it was only the moment that in the front group something was going wrong. So I think with the second last cut or fossil loop.
Yeah, mate, you're supposed to speak French fluently. It's part of your national constitution.
That's not how it works here, okay? On the second last ascension of the climb, we saw that in the front group, the rider of FDG, Brody Chapman, was dropping. And because of that, in the elite group, FDG started panicking and a move by Utrup Ludwig happened. And she actually went very hard on that second last ascension and she put pressure on that group. And I think it was Anna van der Breggen closing it down herself. And eventually that group came together again and the tempo went down again. But I feel like at that moment, the gap was closing down to a good 50 seconds. And we saw another move by FDG. Muzic was going. Do you think that this was a good move by FDG to try and launch that, knowing that the rider in front, for example, was not looking at her best?
Yeah, it seemed pretty good timing. Like they had good communication with Chapman dropping. They're trying to do something. They're like, well, Chapman's probably not going to beat Grace Brown. So yeah, pretty smart from FDG. Jumbo Visma had been keeping their powder dry largely. Niamh Fischer-Black had been pulling in that front group and Juliette Labou, I thought, on that final climb would be a good chance out of that group. But it really was when they got onto the last lap, Jumbo-Visma got on the front and they just decimated this gap. The cohesion in the front group wasn't great, I think, because no team had two riders in that group. It was all individual riders, so there was no one going to the front just pulling because they got a better rider in their group as their teammate. So that group eventually got caught just before the base of the climb. And it reminded me a lot. They get into the base of the climb. All the favorites are now in the front group. The Pelotons caught them. Nividoma, Ludwig, Vos, Follering, Van der Breggen, you name it. And it was actually Sarah Roy leading out Amanda Spratt. And they've been doing a lot this season, Bike Exchange, sort of having Brown attack early and then hoping it's Spratt on the final climb. And then it was an attack by a Canyon SRAM rider. I was like, oh, Nividoma's gone really early. I think it was actually Tiffany Cromwell. Yep. And it was like when Gilbert was on BMC, Benji on the Kalberg, when they got, I can't remember, maybe it was Sammy Sanchez? He got him to attack early to get Kwiatkowski to Bridget, and then Gilbert countered, maybe like 2014. It reminded me a lot of that, and then Nividoma countered. So do you think, is that the steepest point of this climb, like right at the start or like 400 meters in?
Yeah, indeed. In the early parts of it, you've got that 14% section, at least according to the ASO thing, because that's always a tiny bit higher than the actual gradients. But it was a pretty steep section, definitely the steepest part of the climb. So Cromwell hammered it at that moment. And then we saw not an instant response in that second portion of the group. And it wasn't until I think her teammate started hammering it that she was actually closed down. Kasia Nividoma was suddenly powering away from the elite group just behind her and closed down towards Tiffany Cromwell. And usually you would say, oh, she'd stay in the wheel and perhaps Cromwell should give a few turns, but that was not happening. Nividoma was ready to launch past her and straight past her. And eventually in the group behind, I think the two riders that were closing earliest was Utrup Ludwig, but also Grace Brown. So not Amanda Spratt right there. So yeah, that's where the question comes in. Was it good that they were going for Amanda Spratt in the first place and that kind of stuff in terms of that team? But I think that those three stayed away for a few seconds until the others joined as well. That was an Anna van der Breggen, for example, falls in the wheel of Anna van der Breggen, and then the others as well, Vollering, Soraya Paladin as well. So the group came back together, but one missing name, and it is the winner of last year, Lizzie Deignan.
Yeah, she got dropped. I think she's just not looked in as good a condition this year, and I think this played out, this climb, a lot like I'm kind of expecting the men's race to play out. If you only have a 3-4 second gap over the crest of the steep section, which is 1,200 meters in, you've still got a long way to go, over a kilometer, 1,400 meters to the finish, and say you're Kasia Nividoma, Vollering's behind, Van der Breggen's in that group. Van der Breggen's not helping her. So those three, there's not much, you know, collaboration. It was like Schachmann and Alaphilippe in Tour de Suisse stage two, I think, where Alaphilippe attacks, Schachmann's there, they look at each other, MVDP comes back. Same scenario, the quicker women come back, being Vollering and Marianne Vos, but Ludwig goes to the back of the group and they go on to the Flamme Rouge. She knows, well, maybe she shouldn't have known because of what happened later, but she's like, I'm not going to beat Vos and Vollering in a sprint. She attacks to the right-hand side really hard. She's closed down by Anna van der Breggen, who's on policing duties, riding for Vollering again. But it was still a strong attack from Cecilia Utrup-Ludwig. Then Lippert attacked, and it was actually Marianne Vos closing her down with 600 meters to go. Do you think if you're Vos at that moment, Benji, with two SD Works riders in that group, and remember Vollering came at her pretty fast in the Amstel Gold finish, why do you think Vos was closing down Lippert? Do you think she thought Anna van der Breggen wouldn't have done it?
Oh, I think that it's dangerous because if you're Vos in that situation, you're just thinking about staying at the front as much as possible. And I think that despite that team having multiple riders there, I think they would play it treacherously. I think they would try and get Vos to do work. And I think that's where the tension comes in, and that's where Vos actually is kind of forced to close it down, because van der Breggen didn't really look like she was instantly reacting. And it wasn't until Vos made the move, Vos basically, well, crossing to the right of the road, that van der Breggen jumped on the wheel and also followed. So it was a bit of a waiting game for that tiny split second before the reaction happened. And Vos was the one to react. And I think eventually the group came back together and we saw another move that was, well, not similar because it wasn't SD Works that had to close it, but Anna van der Breggen decided to go on the right side of the road, and Vos was on the left side of Vollering when this happened. And when this happened, we saw that Vos was reacting instantly on van der Breggen, but the thing is that Vollering is in between there, and she almost crossed the front wheel of Vollering there, a bit treacherous, but eventually she jumped on the wheel, again having to do extra effort, having to close another one of these attacks, and that's all going to play into her getting more and more cooked along the way going to that final sprint, because Vollering on paper does not have the better sprint on a flat section. But if you put so much pressure on Vos right now with all these continuous attacks, then it might become closer, the level between the two. And that van der Breggen move was very, very important there, I think, for the latter part of the race.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like, the difference between Vos and someone like Anna van der Breggen's sprint is large, even when Vos is tired. But if you can tire Marianne Vos out, if you can get Vollering on her wheel, if you can get Vos launching earlier, then you really even up the playing field between her and Vollering, and you give Vollering a good chance, even if you haven't been able to drop her on the climb. And that's what happened. Vos comes out of the wheel of van der Breggen, kicks pretty early, doesn't have the zip that we saw at Ken Wavelhem, where she sprinted for like 300 meters with Lotte Kopecky on her wheel. That is not what we saw today. And Vollering comes around her to the left easily, in fact, and wins La Course, with Vos running out of steam and Cecilia Utrup-Ludwig, who'd attacked a couple of times, but especially on the second to last lap, I think, on the climb, she has a really, really good sprint for second. So here's the top 10 of La Course. Vollering first, Cecilia Utrup-Ludwig second, Vos third, van der Breggen fourth, Grace Brown fifth. Unbelievable result, given she was in the break, is coming fifth. I mean, it makes you wonder what would have happened with Brown if she'd saved her energy and she'd attacked when everyone was suplessing with 700 to go and looking at each other. Nivea Doma 6th, Paladin 7th, Lippert 8th. Quite a good result for Lippert, actually. I think maybe she should have trusted her sprint a little bit more. I think she could have come top 5. Diagon 9th and Bertizzolo 10th. So pretty interesting and tactical finish, Benji. The van der Breggen-Vollering combo is unbelievable once again. What do you think is the lesson from this climb? And say you are not an SD Works, like SD Works win once again, what could have gone differently for them to actually lose this race?
Actually, I'll throw it around first. I'll try and talk about how they could have won it differently. I think at a certain moment, we saw that attack by Utrup-Ludwig in the last 1.5 kilometers. We saw van der Breggen, well, we saw Grace Brown reacting to that and van der Breggen in the wheel. And they had a bit of a moment where they had a good 15 meters on Nivea Doma, who was setting the pace in the second portion of that elite amount of riders. And that three women group, they stay there for a second and looked at each other. The second that Van der Breggen closes down Utrecht-Ludwijk, she has a tiny gap on Brown. And it wasn't because Brown was letting it go for a bit. No, no, no. I think that she was actually putting pressure on Brown. I think if Van der Breggen decided right at that moment to keep that effort going, she would have been able to win the race like that. And it's because in that second group, they would have all looked at each other. They don't have teammates, so they can't chase it down. They're going to have repetitive attacks left and right. Nobody's going to want to take over. And Utrecht-Ludwijk, I don't believe she would have been able to close it because usually she gets countered. And when she does, she's not able to respond instantly and get back on the wheel. So I think Van der Breggen could have won this race if she went forward there. But then again, they won in the end. So does it really matter? Not really. And it's a split second decision. And I guess they had their plan set out for Vollering and it turned out perfectly. But how could other people have put more pressure on this? I think in the last kilometer, just plainly, there was so much patience and people looking at each other and fake attacks, like maneuvers that looked like they were about to attack and then didn't attack, and from like multiple riders at the same moment as well. So if like one of them actually made the move, the others would have been like, who's going to close it down now? And then it would have been either Van der Breggen or Vos doing it again, but Vos can't keep repeating that. Vos can't close down seven attacks. Two was already putting so much difficulty into her. And Van der Breggen could have probably done it, but if she kept on doing that, then she would have put Vos in a beautiful seat again. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things that could have gone differently in the final kilometer, but it's also just split decisions. I don't know if I was in that position, whether I would have attacked or not. I think it depends on my sprint quality, I guess.
So this is the last major women's race, I think, before the Olympics. Well, it's been knocked down from World Tour, Women's World Tour level, so it's not going to have as good a start list, I don't think, is it? But anyway, for the Olympics, we got this is sort of a tune-up one-day race, although that's not as silly as the men's race. I presume Vollering is going. Will we see the Vos, Van der Breggen, Vollering combo there? I'm not sure how many places they have, but the Dutch team is looking outrageously good for Tokyo to win the Olympic road race. Maybe Van der Breggen's been sacrificing so much for Vollering because she knows she's going to get paid back in Tokyo. So that's something to watch. But I enjoyed this race. I can't wait for the full Women's Tour de France next year, or eight stages of it at least. I think it'll have a really different element, and maybe we'll see some riders who we don't think of as, you know, top riders, that they're actually really, really good stage racers day in, day out, and they've never had the parkour to really show their capabilities. Maybe Ludwig is that sort of rider. But yeah, what are you expecting from the Tour de France next year, Benji? Who's a rider you think will really shine with an eight stage race with some mountainous parkour?
I think it completely depends on that parkour because, yeah, you're saying a mountainous parkour. I think it fits the ones we know, Van Vleuten, Van der Breggen. Those are the ones that fit there. But Van der Breggen, with the Olympics coming, she's retiring on paper, so she might not make that first Tour de France, right?
Yeah, well, she said she's retiring this year, but maybe that's another sort of carrot for her. Come to keep on, going. Anna,
do it for us.
It's not like, I mean she's not exactly washed, is she? So
yeah, that's certain. So, holy crap!
I'm pretty sure she could still win some races next year.
Yeah, I think so as well. When it comes to like GC, it's very difficult. But those are the two I was leaning towards, and then you've got a Vollering that I'm curious in whether she has a time trial. I don't know by heart whether she has a time trial. And if that comes into play, then I want to see how good she does. But I think the problem there is that I think when it comes to the bigger climb, she's going to get into potential trouble. But on Lagunas de Naya, she was surviving pretty long and we were surprised by her. So I think that I'm just looking forward to it so we have a view on who could do there, who could do well there.
Kopecky. If it depends on the parkour, if you get a really flat parkour, which we hope doesn't happen, but Kopecky just won GC at Lotto Belgium Tour, won a stage. She's won so many. She won the national championships in Belgium in the ITT. Kopecky is, she's like the, she reminds me of Wout van Aert a lot, actually, Benji. She's just an incredible sprinter and climbs better than you expect sometimes, a lot of Kopecky, when she wants to. But it won't be that route the route next year, I think, will be too hard for someone like her. Maybe Amanda Spratt will come back. Maybe it's Nia Fischer-Black. Nia Fischer-Black, yeah. Could, you know, she looks like the next best stage racer. Montpasio,
perhaps? You never know.
Yeah, true. Montpasio Waspikilo seems to be amongst the best in the Women's World Tour. She just never gets the climbs to show it off. But that's our recap of La Course by La Tour. Maybe the last edition, probably will be. Thanks for listening and watching. If you want to hear more from us on the Tour de France, you can follow us on Twitter at Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast, at Lantern Rouge CP, it actually is the handle. You can find me on Lantern Rouge YouTube channel. I have highlights of this race, La Course, and every Tour de France stage. And Benji's doing a PCM playthrough on the Benji Nyssen YouTube channel every day. So the links are in the description below, but we'll see you with the men's recap later. Ciao.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.